We're going to start in Colossians chapter 1. Look at a verse that we mentioned in passing this past Wednesday night. As Jesus was talking about some of the signs there that would make the destruction of Jerusalem so well observable. One of the things was it said that the gospel would have been taken to all creation. I want to look at the fulfillment of that in the first century in Colossians chapter 1. This would have been early to mid AD 60s. Paul's in prison. This is one of those prison epistles. In Colossians 1 verse 23, it says, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature under heaven." And then Paul calls himself a minister of that very gospel. Within 30 years or so, at the time of this writing, the gospel had been taken to all those Gentile cities in what we would today call Asia Minor, Turkey. It had been taken to that Aegean Peninsula. It had been taken to the very capital of Rome, the very capital of the Gentile world. They had conquered the world, basically. It had spread. And it had gone. There was in Acts 27, through God's providence, we see Paul being shipwrecked on an island of what was called barbarians. We talk about being landlocked. They were waterlocked. They basically lived their life in and on that island. And the gospel made it there as well. And we have record of that. Now, what we don't have record of is how many hole-in-the-wall places did Peter, by providence, find himself? And where in the world, where all has John? What did all he end up at? We know on Patmos. Where else did he end up? Through God's providence. The message was taken. And the gospel was preached. We see those messengers doing that will. Apostle means one sent. They obeyed that commission of being sent. They went. We know God's hand in all of that. What I want to look in this verse is a word that would get overlooked probably. We emphasize that it was preached to every creature, and that needs to be emphasized. But look a little bit earlier. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. The gospel wasn't just taken. It was preached. And in that preaching, it was heard. What I want us to do today is look at our responsibility in that. Our listening to the gospel. We talk about gospel being preached. And to this very day, we talk about one of the works of the church is to preach the gospel. What goes with that? Hand in hand with preaching the gospel means there has to be some hearing of the gospel. And now that's all on us. Through God's providence, the word was taken to the world. Through God's providence, through the work of the Holy Spirit, it has been restored, and in our very language, it can be preached this very day. What about our responsibilities as a listener of that? What's our role involved in this? Look in Mark chapter 4. Well, look at the responsibility that we have, and how often do we actually think about what kind of listener am I? What kind of hearer am I? Mark chapter 4, Jesus has just taught the parable of the sower, and when you put all the Gospels together, the apostles are asking Him, why are you teaching like that? Why are you teaching in parables? And Jesus begins to describe that. Here's a part of that description, starting in verse 23. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. The idea seems to be, the emphasis is, if you've got ears, you better use them. If you have ears, you better take advantage of them and do what they were designed to do. If you've got ears, listen. Verse 24. Take heed to what you hear. And I'm asking us, how often do we think about that? How often do we really take heed to what we hear? We hear a lot. We open up our Bibles at home and we can hear even when we're sitting alone. But do we take heed to that? What kind of listener am I? What kind of hearer am I really when it comes to God's Word? What do we do today? Is make a real, several lists, several little under topics, I guess, concerning with what kind of listening skills we have. All of them on their own could stand, and we could go a lot deeper. This is going to be kind of a flyby. We're going to do a lot, but do it very hurriedly. Hopefully something will stick. So hopefully something will be of impact and application. But what I want us to start with is let's look through some descriptions that the Bible gives us about hearers, types of hearers. Look in Hebrews chapter 5. It talks about those that are dull of hearing. Hebrews chapter 5. As you're turning there, just think of the answer to this. It's an easy question. What would be the opposite of dull? What's the opposite of dull? It's sharp. We know what a dull knife is. We know what a dull saw is. You know what a dull mind is? It's the same thing. You know what dull ears are? It's the same thing. They're not sharp. We just studied Hebrews not long ago, so I'm just going to briefly set the context. This is when the Hebrew writer is trying to tell them about the change in the priesthood, the change in the order of the priesthood from Melchizedek. And he just takes a break. He takes about a chapter and a half break. And the break is basically a rebuke because of their lack of growth. He says, there are a lot of things about Melchizedek I want to tell you. Verse 11, there are many things to say. They are hard of interpretation, seeing that you are dull of hearing. He said, I'm trying to tell you something. I want to explain something to you about the order of the priesthood, but you're not ready for it. It's going to go right over your head. You've been Christians long enough to know this. You ought to be able to teach it, but I've got to review it with you. I can't tell you all I want to tell you right now about this because you have dull hearing. You haven't listened. You haven't paid attention. You heard it, but you didn't hear it. You listened, but you wasn't listening. You were there, but you didn't get it. You were present, but you weren't sharp of mind. And how often could that be true of us? Just in everyday life. I am a reader. One of my hobbies is reading. I read every day just for fun. And there are times I have been reading a book and I will have to go back and reread entire paragraphs because my eyes are still scanning the page. I haven't been paying attention. And I've still been reading, but something kind of jumped in my head and I'm still scanning from line to line, but I have just kind of lost focus. I'm no longer reading sharply. I'm no longer that mental hearing. It's not happening. Don't think that can't happen to us. It has happened to us. And that's what the Hebrew writer is telling happened to them. The fault in this lies with me, not the message. The fault in this lies with me, the hearer, not the messenger. I know there are false teachers out there, and you do too. Sometimes they are at fault. Sometimes the messenger is taking the message and treating it very fairly, treating it properly. And we still are missing it. It's not the message's fault ever. It's not the messenger's fault all the time. Sometimes it is completely mine because I'm just not sharp. I'm just not listening well. Henry Ford one time said, if I can get the quote right, thinking is the hardest work that there is, which explains why so few do it. That might not be exactly right, but it's a very fair paraphrase. Thinking's hard work, which explains why so few engage in it. And how often are we listening, but we're not thinking? We're hearing, but we're not sharp in our hearing. That's a real problem. It was a problem in Jerusalem in the late AD 50s, and it can be a problem with us. Are we dull of hearing? Do we have itching ears? Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. As you're turning there, it's just to kind of get the idea of what this is talking about. Whether you've had the chicken pox or poison ivy or some type of bee sting, we've all had an itch of some kind. And what are those lotions that we put on for? What do we do that? It's to stop the itch. And we will put anything and everything on. 2 or 3 years ago, we went picking blueberries or blackberries or something. I forgot what it was. And Carla got chiggers while she was doing it. And she was putting stuff on like that. It's amazing some of the stuff she put on. Why was she doing it? Because she was itching. It was weeks going by. She couldn't fix it. And somebody said, try this. And she would. Try this. And she did. And we've all been there before. When you're itching, you'll put anything on. As ridiculous as it might sound, if it makes you feel better, you will apply it. Does that sound familiar? itching ears. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 2, or actually, let's start in verse 3. We'll come back to verse 2 in a moment. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They will turn away their ears from the truth, and they will be turned to fables. Can we take that physical itch that we've all had, where we put that calamine on it, or we put whatever else in the world we could put on it? There are people with spiritual ears who just want to, they just want to feel good. Give me a feel-good sermon. Give me a faith-only sermon because it really makes me feel good. Give me a once-saved, always-saved teaching because it makes me feel good. Tell me I am okay in my marriage. Don't show to me what adultery is. Just let me know I'm okay. Why? Why do we want it? Because it's easier than dealing with the itch. Just cover it up. Let's make it feel better. We know that there are people with these type ears. We may be people with these type ears. We'll put on any lotion to make our body feel better, and we will apply any spiritual lotion to make us feel good about where we are. We want to hear what we want to hear. Are you still with me? Drop back into verse 2. He tells Timothy, you go preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort. Some of that we don't want. We don't want to be reproved. We want to be made to feel good. Don't reprove me. Don't rebuke me. Just scratch me up really good and make me tickle. Do we know people like that? Could we be like that? These hearers are real. Not meaning, by the way, that all lessons ought to sting us. That's a part of what the gospel does. Look at one more. Look in Mark chapter 10. What I would describe as a selective hearer. We only hear certain things. We only hear what we want. Carla's accused me of that, things I never hear. But then she can be four rooms away, she says. You can ask her if there's any validity to this. She can be on the other side of the house and talk about spending money, and she says, I always hear that. So she calls me a selective hearer. I hear certain things, but not all of them. Can we be guilty of that spiritually? Hear what we want to hear? Catch this and not something else? We're not going to read all of Mark chapter 10. It's the rich young ruler. Familiar story. Good master, what do I do to inherit eternal life? Yeah. Love God. I have done that. Love God with your heart, soul, and mind. Love your brother. Oh, I've got that. What else? Take what you've got and go to that widow over there who's trying to raise two kids with no income. Give her your stuff. Take what you have and go to this 40-year-old man who was born blind, who from the day of his birth has been dependent upon others. Go give your stuff to him. Verse 22, he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved. Oh, tell me what to do and I'll do it. Oh, but not that. Oh, I love you. Let me know what you want and I'll do it. And then we don't. I want to know. Until we don't want to know. What we are, we can be selective. We will hear the things that probably fit with our personality anyway. We want to hear the things that make sense to us. Tell me the things that there are some things that don't make sense to us, but it's God's way. There are some things that if we were in charge, but we're not in charge. Are we going to listen to that too? Are we going to obey that as well? These are real problems in real places. Sometimes our hearing is just not very sharp. Sometimes our hearing is just wanting to be made feel better, which is just tell me what I want to hear. Sometimes our hearing is very selective. We treat it like God's word is just a buffet. I'll take the green beans, but I don't want the macaroni and cheese. Give me this, but leave that off. These are real hearers. They're real problems. We are warned about it. But we don't have to be that. These don't have to be us. They don't have to be describing me. They don't have to be describing you. Acts chapter 17, when the Bereans were described as being more noble, they were more fair-minded. They listened better, a little sharper. Not worried about being scratched. They wanted to hear what they needed to hear. Not worried about being selective. Open up the book and tell me what I need. How does it apply to me? More noble-minded. I can be that kind of hearer. There are other examples besides this of what I can be. So now let's move into another idea. How important is this? We see what we don't want. How significant is good, noble hearing in everyday life? What exactly does it mean? Well, let's talk about that. Look in Matthew chapter 13. It's essential to being blessed. We'll look at some verses. We're just going to look at them just alone. Not look at the full context, but just pulling them out and trying to see the significance of being a good hearer. Good listening skills. How important is it? If we want to be considered blessed by God, it's absolutely essential. Matthew 13, verse 16 beginning. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things that you see, and they didn't see them. They wanted to hear these things which you hear and have not heard them. Do we take advantage of that? Do we count? When we sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings, is that a part of the list? Me and you know things Isaiah would have stood on his head to have understood. Me and you can hear things Jeremiah in the bottom of a well full of just muck and mire, and he would have done anything to know what we know, to be able to have heard what you and I hear, to be able to know what Ephesians 3 talked about, that gospel being revealed. Paul said, it was revealed to me, I've written it down, and when you read it, you can know the mystery. We know who the Messiah was. Isaiah didn't know that. He's writing about and prophesying about some sheep silent before the slaughters. Me and you know his name. Me and you know when he lived. We don't know just some prophetic sheep. We don't know something's going to happen. We know what happened. Do we listen? Do we understand the blessing that comes from that? We won't turn to Romans chapter 10. It's essential to salvation. Romans chapter 10, how are you going to hear? Unless someone teach. Faith comes by hearing. If I'm a dual hearer, salvation's not real for me. If I've got itching ears, salvation is not going to be there. If I've got selective hearing, salvation is just not a true, genuine hope for me. Not until I repent from those. Not until I change and become a good and noble, honest hearer. How serious is it? Do we want to be blessed by God? Do we consider it to be a blessing? Is salvation of significance to us? Because hearing is a part of it. I do want to look in Luke chapter 8. Trying to build on these just a moment. Faith comes by hearing. This room made up of a majority of people who have done that very thing. Because of what you heard. Because of your response to that. You were saved. Your sins were forgiven. That's not where it ends. We have to grow. We have to become fruitful in the kingdom. Do you know what our fruitfulness is dependent upon? Luke chapter 8, verse 15. On that good ground, he's still back to that parable of the sower. On that good ground, they are those which are honest and good of heart. Having heard the word, they kept it and brought forth fruit with patience. Yes, it's a part of salvation. The word has to be heard in an honest heart, but then it will produce fruit. Did you catch how that all fits together? Good and honest heart, having heard the word, they kept it and brought forth fruit. You know how important hearing is? We can't be fruitful without it. We're just wandering around in the vineyard doing nothing unless we are hearing. Good, noble-hearted hearers who are not just hearing, but verse 15 says doing. We're active. That's how significant hearing is. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. It's essential to not falling away. Mentioned very briefly just a moment ago, one of those salves people like to put on, those who have itching ears, who want to make the itch feel a little bit better. Uh-oh. Once saved, always saved. We're studying that very thing. Right, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been studying that very topic in our high school class downstairs. The fallacy of once saved, always saved. We would be fools not to find that if it was in the Scripture. I wished it were true. I'll just tell you. I wished once saved, always saved was true. I wished I could teach it. I wished I could believe it. Sure would make life easy, wouldn't it? Sure would remove a lot of... The fact is, it's not true. And hearing is dependent upon keeping us in a state of fellowship with God. Are you with me in verse 1? We ought to give more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Don't forget them. Don't put them aside. Give heed to them, lest at any time we should let them drift. We let them slip. Do you see how this builds? Hearing is essential to becoming saved. Hearing is essential to staying saved. It's essential to maintaining that fellowship with God. That's how significant this is. We'll look at one more. Matthew chapter 10. It's essential to not being rejected by Him. I understand they go together somewhat. Not falling away. Should I fall away, I will be rejected. So I understand there is some give and take on this, some overflow. But it is significant. And there is some extra specificness that Jesus uses concerning that, about that rejection. Matthew chapter 10, this is the limited commission, by the way. That's the context. I want you to go here and there. I want you to go to the Jewish cities, and I want you to teach the gospel of the kingdom. Tell them what's coming. Verse 14. Whosoever that will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. He says, I want you to go teach. I want you, my messengers, to take my message and go. The failure on the limited commission was what with the message? It was the message. It wasn't with the messengers. It's that some would not hear. Some would not listen. It's the same thing true today. The message is still intact, still in perfection. The message can be handled well and taught well. And what's the problem? Sometimes I'm too dull. Sometimes I'm too scratchy. I'm too itching. Sometimes I'm too selective. That's what we can be. And that's how we are rejected of God. Don't miss the significance of verse 15. It will be better had they been in Sodom and Gomorrah than to have rejected the message that I'm sending you with. We know how God condemned those cities. We know the end results of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do we let this impact us? He said it would be better than then. It'd be better to have been there than to be where you are if you reject my message come judgment day. Do I let that in? Do we let that in? How important is good listening? It's essential to being blessed of God, of obtaining salvation, of maintaining salvation, of bearing fruit in the kingdom, of being accepted by Him, not being rejected by Him. This is how serious it is. And now one last thing. Now let's make some applications of it. Can I be dull of hearing? Sometimes I have been. Guessing probably you have. Have I just sometimes wanted to be scratched? Yeah, probably you have too. Have sometimes I been selective? Yeah, probably you have as well. The real problems. And if that's in our life, here's what we're missing. Here's the essentialness of being a good hearer. So how can I get better? How can I take advantage of all these things? First of all, let's make listening a part of our worship. You've all heard that phrase that's used over and over again, that worship is a verb. And if you've forgotten the English, and verb means verb is active. It's not describing some place. It's not describing something. It's describing an activity. Something I am doing. And that's what worship is. It is a verb. Listening is active. And that's what we're trying to be, is an active listener. When kids were small, we took them to a... some kind of milk plant. I don't remember which one it was. The one with the big cow. That was the mascot they had on the front. The big. We took them and we got the tour. They put these, they put the hair thing on us and put us in scrubs and we walked all through that plant. And everybody was basically working except us. They take us to this one and they're showing us how this is done. Then they take us here and show us how the carts are made. They show us how the ice cream is done. They're taking us to all these rooms and we're just kind of looking around and everybody else working like ants, scurrying and doing what, and we're just kind of taking it all in. Do we find ourselves that way? There's stuff going on here. We just kind of... There are people worshiping, but it's not me. There are people praying, but it's not me. There are people lifting their voice in song, and I might even be, there may be things coming out of my mouth, but I'm not singing to God. And we can be guilty of this, and we can be just as guilty in the hearing of it. We're here, but we're just kind of that passive observer. We want to be better than that. We're here for action. And our listing is a part of that. From start to finish, let's keep our minds sharp. Let's focus attention. Again, from our start to our finish, some examples of what we can do. Read along with your Bible. Don't trust me. Sometimes, open your Bibles up. Look at the verses that we're looking at. Number one, make sure I'm reading it right. Make sure I'm not skipping something of significance. Make sure I'm taking it in the context and using it properly. Don't trust me. I've messed up way too many times. And if I live long enough, I'm going to mess up again. You open them up. Listen. Read it. Do your part. Another option that we might need to take, it might be because of where we sit. Maybe there's just some disruptions there. Move. Find another place. We're not here because we're trying to homestead. It doesn't matter how long you may have been in a spot. If you can't pay attention where you are, find someplace else. We're here to listen. We're here to hear actively. We're here to hear sharply and completely, not just selectively. Maybe we just need to pay more attention. So let's open up our Bibles. Maybe we need to be in a spot we can pay more attention. We'll do it. Remember how essential it is that we do these things? It's essential to salvation. It's essential to fruitfulness. It's essential. Do what we need to do. And now we'll look at one more thing. Look in Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33. We need to listen with a mind toward action. Ezekiel 33. Have you ever, as you're turning there, have you ever listened to a sales pitch knowing full well you weren't going to buy? Have you ever done that? I have been in that situation where you're sitting there and you're hearing but even as it's going, you have already made your mind up. I mean, the guy's up there, he's working like crazy. You know, he's giving all the positives and all the advantages, but I'm not buying. Have you been there? That was where the Jews were in the Babylonian captivity during the days of Ezekiel. They were listening to him. They were there. They were hearing him, but they weren't buying. Look at all the flatter they give him. Ezekiel chapter 30. I'm sorry. Chapter 33, if I've got you in the wrong spot. Ezekiel 33, beginning in verse 30. Thou son of man, the children of the people are talking about you behind the walls and in the doors of the houses. They are speaking to one another, every one of his brothers, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what the word is that comes forth from the Lord. So God comes to Ezekiel. He says, listen, people are talking about you. They're inviting people to come hear you. They are behind doors saying, look, you need to come listen to this guy. Or you need to hear him. Verse 31. They will come unto you as the people comes. They will sit before you as my people. They will hear your words, but they will not do them. With their mouth they will show you much love, but their heart goes after covetousness. Look at the last verse. And you will be to them as a very lovely song, as one that has a pleasant voice, and someone who can play the instrument very well. They will hear your words and do them not. God comes to Ezekiel and he says, oh, you're fixing to become a superstar, buddy. They're going to come from all over to hear you. They're going to brag about you. And when you get through, they're going to pat you on the back and tell you how good a job you did. You're going to be to them like somebody strumming the harp. like somebody just playing a beautiful melody. It's going to be like a love song to them. And they will walk off and not do one thing that you taught. We're trying to be better hearers. And he said, they're going to listen. They're going to hear, but they will not listen. They will not hear. They will not do. And I'm asking us if that's where we are. Get your songbooks out. In the letter of Revelation, John's Revelation, written to the seven churches, one of the themes that pops up in each of those seven churches, as he wrote to Sardis, as he wrote to Thyatira, as he wrote to Pergamos, in every one of them, the phrase was made, you who have ears, let him hear. To every one of those churches, so don't. I want you listening. I want you hearing. We're here today to worship. Let's make sure that's not selectively. Let's make sure that that is not dull, but sharp and focused and on sight. Maybe that, before we go any farther, maybe our hearing has not been what it should be. And our life has reflected that through sin or through lack of obedience. Before we go any farther into this service, we need to correct that. And if we need to do it publicly, do it right now while we stand and sing.